I pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit will continue to work in people's lives right now, even as we go back into Scripture. So I'm going to invite you to think back 2,000 some years ago when all of this started, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and Peter is preaching, or first of all, he's arguing and saying that, hey, we're not drunk, we are not, it's way too early. And he goes on, and then he delivers a powerful message. And he finishes this message saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupted generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. What an amazing thing. And God has been doing and calling people and following him for over 2,000 years. And we have seen what the power of the Holy Spirit has done in the six people here that have baptized today, and also in the testimonies that we have heard. Of course, there is two things when I read this passage. It says, repent and be baptized. So, there needs to be a repentance. So before we are baptized, we must come to believe that we are sinners, that we need salvation. Because the Bible says in Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The word repentance literally is a Greek word meaning a change of mind. Yet the full meaning is somewhat more. In the New Testament, the word metanoia is often translated as repentance. But this kind of repentance is not about regret or guilt or shame. It implies making a decision to turn around. So if I'm going this way, turn around, I have a change of mind. I realize that I'm a sinner, as the Bible teaches, and I need to go in a different direction. And I want to go to the direction of Jesus Christ. I want to go to the cross, repenting of my sins. When we turn to Jesus, asking him to forgive our sins and be Lord and Savior, we are born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans, a verse that we already read or heard today, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised them from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So water baptism symbolizes the believer's total trust and total reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not with our own strength. We have heard that in some of the testimonies where sometimes we have this idea that we want to do it ourselves. I first need to do this and that. I first want to get my life together. I need to get rid of this. I want to do Bible reading. I want to pray more and stuff like that. Relying on our own strengths. It doesn't work. If you're here tonight again. Oh, man. Leonard, we're not here tonight. This morning. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with wanting to do it with your own strength, in the name of Jesus, I command you, let those things aside. Leave it and fully trust God and rely on him and rely on his strength. As well as a committed life to live obedience, the other thing is when we are saved and we are baptized, we also want to make a commitment to live a life of obedience, to abide in the Lord, to obey his commandments, and to serve him all the days of our lives. It also expresses that there's a unity with all the saints in the world. Ephesians says, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That is, with every person in every nation on earth who is a member of the body of Christ. In Galatians 3, we read, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew or Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all in Christ Jesus. So the believer baptism conveys this and so much more. But it doesn't save us, because that is sometimes what people think. But the believer's baptism does not save us. We need to repent first and then get into the waters of baptism. Instead, the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith, apart from works. Ephesians 2, we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." We are baptized because it is a commandment. It's a commandment. It's an ordinance that Jesus himself has given to the church. Before he was taken up into heaven, he says, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Go and baptize, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. And I will be with you till the ends of the earth." Baptism is a beautiful picture of what our Lord has done for us. As we are completely immersed in water, we symbolize burial with our Lord. We are baptized into his death on the cross and are no longer slaves to self and to sin. Romans 6 reads as follows, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Jesus, as Christ, was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So when we are raised out of the water, we are symbolically resurrected, raised to new life in Christ, born into the family of God. Romans 8, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. In simple words, baptism is an outward testimony of the inward change in a believer's life. Baptism means by which a person makes also a public profession of faith and of discipleship. We start a journey. The moment we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Savior, Lord, we start this journey of discipleship, and we start to grow and mature. And baptism, yes, as we've seen this morning, is absolutely relevant and important in the life of the church. We have our marching orders, as I already claimed about the word of Matthew 28. Let's go. Teach the word of God. Baptize and make disciples till the end, till Jesus comes back. We need to be faithful and we need to be intentional. We want to be intentional. And if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you this morning, like Leonard said, we're celebrating another baptism. It's not too late. Come and join. Come and declare what Jesus is doing inside. Share your testimony. And then we start following Jesus. And Jesus has also said that following him will not be easy. Jesus was quite explicit about the cost of following him. Discipleship requires a total committed life. If any of you who does not give up everything he has, he cannot be my disciples. Sacrifice is expected. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And I believe personally for me, this is a daily prayer. Father God, help me to deny myself, to pick up my cross, to deny my selfish desires, my ambitions and everything, my will, and say, "May your will be done in me today." I believe that is a daily prayer, maybe more than a daily prayer, a routine that we could all pray. Father God, I surrender to your will today. May your will be done in me. How can I be a part of what you are doing already, building your kingdom here in Abbotsford, specifically here in King Road Church, and how can we reach out to our community and keep preaching the good news of salvation? Please bow with me as I pray. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long, high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.